He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. Well, doggone it, we're giving up about half of what we made yesterday. Yesterday was quite a good day in the market. And today, yeah, about half of what we gained yesterday out the window today. The Dow was up 237 yesterday, and we're down 130 today. We can't get 2 days in a row anymore. 34,684 is where the Dow is. Not that far from its all-time high, however. Let's see, about what, 1,000 points? Just under 1,000 points from its all-time high. The S&P 500 is also down today after being up some 38 points yesterday. The S&P 500 down about 13, 14 points right now. Actually, it's down 23 points right now to 44.57. The NASDAQ, which had just a rocking good day yesterday, the NASDAQ was up, what, yesterday it was up 124 points. It's down about 90 points today. I don't really see any bad news other than the better-than-expected retail sales, where now you have good news being bad news because that may spur the Fed to start to taper. The Russell 2000 doing the best of all. It's only down 4 points, 22.29. Crude oil down 90 cents to 71.71. The gold market's down $44 per ounce today. Not a good day for gold, $17.50. Kind of a risk-off kind of day, isn't it? Silver down $1.06, $22.75. The 10-year at 1.35. Okay, there's one problem that I see. You've got interest rates up 5 basis points today. That could be the culprit. And Bitcoin is down 210 to 47,620. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. Well, we had, like I say, a huge day yesterday in the market. Very good day, you know, towards the about midday, the market just started taking off, and it closed at its high. Going into the close, the Dow was up 237 yesterday. The S&P was up 38. The NASDAQ was up 124. I will say this about the Dow, however. It is now trading below its 50-day moving average, which, you know, that happens from time to time. It's been about a month, I guess, since it's been below its 50-day moving average. And now we'll look at that 50-day moving average as its current resistance level. What once was support, once you crack that, it now becomes resistance. And the Dow struggling a little bit, kind of in that sideways mode. I said yesterday that I think it's over for the reflation trade. Just like I think that the high growth, high PE stocks, that trade ended in February, March of this year. What ended it? Rising interest rates. And even when interest rates started to go back down, I didn't see that high PE area recover. Where I saw the money move was reliable, big. You know, I know it's not very, it's not like a secret trade out there. I mean, the money's been moving into the big, big, big growth stocks, the Microsofts of the world, and others like them, like Microsoft. And it's just not really moving much. Where, well, I'm seeing some movement here in the large cap financials. They seem to be a pretty good place to be, especially the money managers like Blackstone. Blackstone had a huge day yesterday. We own Blackstone. That's been a good purchase for us. It's up about 80% since we bought it. We own that not only in our premier growth portfolios, but also in our dividend and growth portfolios, BX. And I'm seeing some trends emerge here a little bit here today, which we'll get to in a bit, and most of those movers are coming from my top-ranked stocks list. Yeah, it's a tale of two markets some days. It's the mediocre stocks continue to be mediocre, and the best stocks now continue to be the best stocks now. The trend is your friend, my friend. So we had a very big day yesterday. I don't really know what did it, but, hey, we'll take it. We've had 6 days in a row of bad market, and then we had that big move yesterday. A lot of movers and shakers yesterday. Oh, I saw Alcoa, you know, aluminum stock breaking out. I saw Broadcom, AVGO, as kind of a fresh new breakout. Although, that's not one I have a lot of interest in right now. Carlyle Group, which has been on the verge of a breakout here recently. That's another financial like Blackstone. The shipping stocks, the dry bulk shippers were pretty strong yesterday. Diana Shipping and the shipping ETF, BDRY, which follows the Baltic Dry Index. On the inverse ETF front, FXP, China, 2x inverse. That continues to be a very good trade. The oil stocks had a good day yesterday. Cimarex Energy, XEC. The lithium stocks had a good day yesterday. LAC, Lithium America. And I saw some good movement in the chip stocks. KLA Tencor caught my eye yesterday. And as today's show progresses, I'll go through some of the early movers that I'm noticing from today. But we've had three very important economic reports come out this morning. One was a big surprise to the upside, and this could be a good news is bad news kind of story. Retail sales, which were expected to be down in August, actually rose, unexpectedly rose 0.7%, recovering from a July slump. Now, what I'm hearing from people that cover that retail sector, the biggest problem right now is inventory. You know, a lot of the shelves are empty. I've noticed that even at, like, Walmart and, you know, the grocery store, you're seeing some shelves just empty as those supply chain problems continue. But retail sales came in much better than expected. And, of course, that leads the market to say, uh-oh, here comes the taper from the Fed sooner rather than later. They said they're going to do it before the end of the year. Well, we're running out of runway. This is mid-September, so, you know, you got October, November, December. I would expect somewhere between now and the end of the year, maybe by next month, the Fed to start actually announcing. Now, they've been talking. It's called taper talk when you just jawbone about it. But you actually say we're tapering, then that becomes another thing. The Philly Fed, I noticed the futures were down about 80 points. And then the Philly Fed report came along. It was much stronger than expected. The business outlook was up 30.7 versus a 19 consensus. I saw the futures turn around at that point to the upside this morning. It's been a long morning already. You know, a lot happens before the market opens. And then when the retail sales numbers came out, the Dow looked even better. NASDAQ never really joined in, however, the hit parade. And now we've got this turn to the downside. And the last economic report that came in, and this number continues to improve a little, jobless claims came in at 332,000. 315,000 was the consensus, however. Well, one of the things I've been talking about here, tensions between China and the U.S. keep rising in the political arena, as the U.S. and the U.K. join in a new security pact with Australia. What's Australia have to do with it? Well, I know my father spent some time in Australia during World War II in his in their diesel-powered submarine. That was one of the places they got to go ashore, Perth, Australia. But, you know, it seems this sudden turn that China has taken, which maybe they've been taking it all along, they're just more public about it, cracking down on capitalism all of a sudden, but also becoming very aggressive in wanting to expand their reach. It would seem that they're after the whole Pacific, okay? That's what Japan obviously wanted in World War II, and that's why my father, Marvin Gunderson, joined the Navy at the age of 18 and went to New Groton, Connecticut, was trained to be on a submarine and ended up in the South Pacific to defend the South Pacific. And now it's China that wants that South Pacific. And we are now helping Australia get some nuclear subs so that they can defend themselves from this ongoing, this expanding threat, let's call it, from China. And I think Taiwan should be worried. So, you know, that's not a good situation in this world economy. I see Qualcomm got caught up in it yesterday. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Docs Now Show. Speaking of China, this is just coming out. Chinese state media says warships may soon near Hawaii. This is like, Japan back in World War II all over again, where now it's China that wants to dominate the Pacific Ocean. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But I'm seeing a lot of companies caught in the crosshairs there. You also have the COVID variant, which is causing a lot of shutdown, which they don't report. I mean, I read the Chinese newspaper. We had 50 reports of COVID yesterday, 50 people. Well, then how come Yum China's sales are down 30% because of the lockdowns in China? And how come Starbucks stock got clobbered yesterday because of lockdowns in China? There must be a lot more of COVID infections going on there than they are reporting. And their stocks, I mean, I'm just looking at it again today. And let's not forget, a lot of folks in their 401ks and their IRAs and the Roth, they have exposure to emerging market funds. I mean, usually in an asset allocation type of a strategy, there's going to be so much recommended to emerging markets. Well, those emerging markets have a lot of China in them. And I'm watching the emerging market ETF just get clobbered here, which I've been warning about for quite some time. And the Chinese stocks continue to get clobbered. I mean, you can just look at Alibaba as a proxy there for that index. That thing just continues to hit new lows. It just continues to get pounded. And, of course, on the inverse side of that, now this is a good lesson on how inverse funds work. FXP is inverse China. If China goes down 3%, it goes up 6% because it's 2-to-1 correlated on the inverse with China. I think there are some 1-to-1 correlations, maybe a YXX or something like that, or there's a yin and there's a yang. One of them's inverse and one of them is on the upside, but I think they're 3-to-1. So anyways, FXP is the one I use that I watch. That seems to be the best inverse fund out there right now. But this China thing is going to be a big factor in our stock market. You know, I mean, that's supply chain, pharmaceuticals with ingredients to make prescription drugs. It's the semiconductor chain, supply chain. And let's not forget all the companies that are doing business there and selling their products. The Teslas, the Apples, the Starbucks, the Yum Chinas, etc. So this is going to be an issue for the stock market, and it doesn't look like it's going to get better anytime soon. Well, the drug price negotiation part of the spending package, this is the $3.5 trillion spending package that is moving its way through the House Ways and Means Committee right now, where they're trying to figure out new taxes to pay for it. Well, they did approve a portion of the spending package that includes a provision for prescription drug prices negotiated by the HHS, okay? And, of course, the biotechs have been warning on, you know, capping drug prices. They won't be as motivated to take risk, is their argument, to create new drugs. But I have seen, you know, some of these big drug stocks have not been very healthy recently. I've noticed a big sell-off in Lilly, LLY. I've noticed a big sell-off in Pfizer, PFE, Merck, Bristol-Myers, Amgen, Johnson & Johnson. This is not good news for big pharma. Maybe good news for retirees. I'm just giving you both sides of this story. But that part of the package has been passed. Another big part of this package that is being discussed, which would be quite a change, I don't see it going through. One of the reasons that people have fled and moved out of mutual funds and into ETFs, you know, number one, you have minute-by-minute trading and pricing of an ETF, as opposed to a mutual fund, which is only at the end of the day. You can't get out of a mutual fund during the day. You're going to get that closing price, whatever it is, that it closes at. But also the tax treatment is more favorable on ETFs. If you've ever owned mutual funds, and I have, at the end of the year, you could buy the fund in mid-December, and they could declare the next day capital gains, capital gains reports, and you could be stuck and on the line for their long-term capital gains, which, you know, they take that that takes a bite out of the net asset value of the mutual fund, and their short-term gains for the year. They have to do that every single year. An ETF, you're only on the hook when you sell that ETF, okay? If you buy the QQQ and hold it for the next 5 years, you're not going to get hit for a capital gains tax until you sell the QQQ. Well, they're trying to change that. And this congressman out of Oregon, Ron Wyden, seems to be the point man for, dreaming up all these new ways of closing loopholes and creating more taxes, etc. They're proposing a tax loophole plan that would significantly affect the ETF marketplace. Okay, you know, that's gonna rattle a lot of nerves. There's a big ETF lobby. A lot of these big companies have moved away from mutual funds and into ETFs. He's gonna have a fight on his hands there. But suffice it to say that they're looking at the pass-through and partnership taxation and trying to get their piece of the action every year, as opposed to when you buy or sell, or when you sell the ETF. So keep your eye on that. The ETF industry, I'm sure, will certainly fight that one. Uranium hits 9-year highs as Sprott resumes purchases. Who's Sprott, you say? Well, Sprott is a trust. It's a physical uranium trust. It trades on the public markets. SRUUF on the pink sheets. Sprott Physical Uranium Trust resumed their purchases following last week's approval of an expanded equity sales program that will allow the fund to buy an additional $1 billion worth of physical. Are they trying to corner the uranium market? Remember when the Hunt brothers tried to do that with silver back in the 60s, late 60s, early 70s. Sprott continues another $1 billion worth of physical uranium. All right. Okay, what else? Oh, and I was looking at those uranium stocks. Look at that yesterday. UEC was up 14%. UROY was up 25%. UUUU was up 11%. Now, I have found over time that these fads that come along, it's pretty hard, okay? The minute you buy into them, the fad starts to fade. You know, that's been my history with fads like this. But suffice it to say, the uranium market is red hot right now. This is Bill Gunderson. This is the Best Stocks Now show. We'll get to some today's trends that are I'm watching here in a minute. Welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now show. Well, the market's about the same. Dow down 135, losing about half of what it gained yesterday, and a really good day yesterday. And the NASDAQ down about, 65? Let's see, NASDAQ down, 75 points right now. So, not much change here. In the markets. Natural gas powers into overdrive, hitting new 7-year highs. Let's hope it's not too cold this winter. Going to be paying more for that natural gas, a 7-year high. Well, that seems to be a trend, doesn't it? A lot of these commodities, things, inflation definitely. You're seeing a lot of inflation that doesn't look so transitory to me. But uranium prices, copper prices, gasoline prices, beef prices, T-bone steak prices, everything seems to be moving up. How about 14 moonshot technologies? B of A says, investors must know. Okay, now we've seen a lot of technological revolutions in our day. And I don't think we're done yet. Okay, here they are, 6G. Well, okay, that makes sense. 6G. Brain-computer interfaces. That's artificial intelligence, okay? Connecting our brain to some kind of a computer interface. This could hold solutions for paralyzed individuals and promise a new wave of innovation in gaming. Not just what we need. Emotional artificial intelligence. Okay, my artificial intelligence is in a bad mood today. Synthetic biology, that's kind of recreating nature to make biomolecules that traditional chemistry cannot. Immortality. Well, aging has always been, something. Somewhere lies Ted Williams' body, right, in a freezer. He said, if they ever come up with something, take me out of the freezer. I want to live again. I think there's only one person that can bring about that. Immortality. Bionic humans. Well, there's another one. I thought Tom Brady was our first example of a bionic human. eVTOL, electrical vertical takeoff and landing vehicles. That's coming. Wireless electricity. We're still waiting for that, where you could just pull up or just set your phone down and it charges wirelessly. Or your car, that's a big one. If somebody can crack that one, not having to actually plug your car in, but just parking next to a charger, wireless electricity. Holograms, the metaverse, we're hearing a lot about the metaverse. Next-gen batteries, okay, right now we're on the lithium batteries. Will there be a breakthrough? Such as solid state, vanadium flow, sodium ion, etc., providing promising additional attributes. I did see today Lucid Motors, which doesn't have any models yet out, for the public, but they did get a score. I can't remember who it was, but they joined the first 500 mile club. One of Lucid's cars, LCID, is the symbol. That was one of the few SPACs that recently went public that actually has some promise. Lucid is expected to be a major player in the EV market. That stock is up 4.8% today, but it's been going sideways. It got up to 65 and all the hoopla of the SPAC merging with Lucid Motors. It got up to 65. It's now trading at 21. So, that was that February-March time frame that I've talked about so much. Lucid topped out in late February at $65 per share. And I would just say that Lucid is a good proxy for that slice of the market. Lucid has gone from 65 down to 21. It's basically lost 65 to 70% of its value, not value, but price that it had back in late February. And it's just been dull ever since. But, you know, they've got a model out there, 500 miles you can go on one charge of your batteries. Let's see. Next one, ocean technology. How do we increase sustainability of the ocean economy while harnessing its benefits? And green mining. That's the next one, green mining. So, oh, well, there's a couple more. Carbon capture and storage. I thought trees did that. And lower lifespan of shortening the components of the S&P 500 and SPY because of these things that come along so quickly. Anyways, there's a new meme stock, OPAD. Well, this was a SPAC that went public back in late last year, and they have something. It's technology-based solutions to remake the home selling and buying experience efficient to customers. Well, we've seen a big revolution in the real estate buying business with Redfin and with other, you know, you pretty much, I mean, they pretty much dominate the market. Redfin and Zillow pretty much dominate the market of people shopping for homes, okay? Well, OfferPad is in that space, but a little bit different. The symbol is OPAD. All of a sudden, it's a meme stock. That's the Reddit crowd, okay? And that stock is roaring here today, up 27% as it enters into meme territory. Now, I would just tell you that I see these meme stocks come along. They go down as fast as they go up. I said that about support.com, which went way up. And then it turned around and went way down. Now, one that has maintained its meme ability is AMC Entertainment. It continues to be way overpriced. And they kind of cater to the meme crowd a little bit. AMC Theaters will now accept Ethereum, Litecoin, along with Bitcoin. You buy your popcorn, lots of butter, extra butter, or whatever that stuff is, that goo that they put on top of there. You can use Ethereum, Litecoin, or Bitcoin. You know, they cater to this meme crowd. Robinhood brings its marketing to college campuses this fall. Well, this is what I've been saying. Robinhood is after a whole different demographic than Merrill Lynch or, you know, the big guys, Morgan Stanley, are after. And I just don't think you'll ever see much of in the way of profitability at Robinhood. Here, Robinhood got up to almost $90 per share. It's been cut in half to $41.48. Not something I have an interest in. And pretty much what I've been saying, this is the crowd that they're going after. You know, the college kids and the meme crowd buying popcorn with Ethereum. Lucid Motors, there it is, 500-mile range rating for their upcoming model, AirDream. I don't know when that will be out, but that is the 500-mile club, they call it. In the meantime, you know, these other startups, Lordstown Motors, let's check in on Lordstown. That thing got as high in February as 32. Now it's at $6.50. Fisker, getting a downgrade today. Well, it's about time. Fisker got up to 32, and now it's $12 per share, and the chart looks horrible. Now, here's the chart of the day for me. This stock has been showing up on my A-plus momentum list, and I've always questioned the stock. Just what kind of profit margin is there in delivering restaurant food? But this is the chart of the day. I'm just going to tell you, DoorDash. D-A-S-H. Look at that. Bang. That was a big saucer pattern, and all of a sudden it's breaking out. You know, I go into restaurants and I see all these sacks, you know, with people's name on them ready to be sold. I guess as the pandemic, you know, people go back to work and start eating out again, I guess they're going to maintain that delivery business on top of their in-store business. Maybe it's a net positive for restaurants. I don't know, but DoorDash just delivers the goods. Listen to DoorDash's last four quarters of sales, up 268%. Up 226%, up 198%, up 83%. DoorDash is a very good-looking stock, A-plus momentum. I do not own it, but it's definitely an A-plus momentum grade with a super good chart right now. Okay, when we come back, I'm going to mention several in the final segment of the show. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now show. Back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now show on this Thursday with a sell-off day after yesterday's big move, big move in the market. We're probably giving up about half of what we gained yesterday. That's kind of the trend here. No, not sure why, other than maybe the retail sales report coming in better than expected, which now you're in that good news is bad news type of situation. And the increasing tension with China all of a sudden. Well, you know, there's a precedence for the market not doing well with tensions with China. Look at 2019 or 2018, one of those years when President Trump slapped the big tariffs on China and the tariff war went on. The market went nowhere while China and the U.S. were going at it. Well, we're going at it again, this time a little differently. I know President Biden has wanted to look into China's subsidies of their companies. And Australia's in the center of this, also in this current spat, with the U.K. and the U.S. helping Australia get some nuclear subs to defend themselves against a very aggressive China. So anyways, that's causing tensions. I saw it spill over into Qualcomm. I think it's spilling over into Apple, Tesla. And you've got the COVID going through China, and it's showing up in stocks like Starbucks and Yum China and others that do business in China. Let's not forget, too, that a lot of these companies in the U.S. have seen China as their big growth engine going forward, wanting a big market share of that big market. Well, you know what? Things are getting kind of sticky right now, and this is going to spill over into our markets. It already is. And that's not even to mention what's happened to the Chinese stocks themselves, which are a big part of the emerging markets. They continue to get clobbered. Okay, some stocks jumping off the page for me today. I already mentioned DoorDash, D-A-S-H. Another one is this company that recently teamed up with Amazon to offer pay, buy now, pay later. Well, that's not a new concept. I mean, that's been around ever since I can remember, you know, especially around Christmas time. Don't worry. Load up on Christmas presents now. You can pay later. This is kind of the way Congress and the Senate work. Buy now, pay later. But they never pay later. Okay, they just keep buying. No paying later. That never seems to come. But the consumer better pay later. They're going to be in trouble. Well, Affirm, A-F-R-M, is the company that got the deal with Amazon. That's a powerful stock right now. AFRM, even on a day when the Nasdaq's down about 80 or 90 points, Affirm continues to be a firm stock, very much so. 90 relative strength rating. Another one here that is standing out to me today, Salesforce. In fact, the cloud stocks have held up pretty well during this recent sell-off. ServiceNow, its sister stock, which is Snowflake, and Salesforce, which is a member of the Dow, that's having a good day today, bouncing off of its 200-day moving average on a day when the Dow's down about 200 points. Salesforce, CRM, definitely stands out as a good-looking chart there. I would also say that nothing to do with Bo Derek. At 10 networks, this is A and then the numbers 10, 10, A10 Networks Inc. They develop software based advanced applications and networking solutions. That stock's been very strong recently. It's a small cap, though. It's a micro cap. $1.1 billion, very small company. And on the downside, once again, the emerging markets look horrible. ADRE is the proxy I use there. What looks better? EUM, which is the inverse of the emerging markets. EUM has a very nice-looking chart. And you're getting a golden cross today, or in the last few days, with the 50-day crossing above the 200-day. There are a few inverse funds out there that look very buyable right now. And, of course, if you want to pinpoint it even further, the trouble in the emerging markets, it's China. And FXP is really doing very well. It's two times inverse the China 50 index. And the other chart that looks pretty sour to me is copper. CPER, you know, copper peaked back in May. That was part of the reflation trade, Freeport-McMoRan, the copper stocks, copper hitting new highs. Copper's a bellwether for the future outlook for the not only our economy but the global economy. Well, obviously that outlook, and I'd say it's mostly from these increasing tensions with China, the global outlook, and, of course, China's crackdown, the global outlook is obviously starting to weaken as copper, the ETF has gone from $29, almost $30, down to $26. So that's about a 10% drop, and that also means a drop in expectations for the global economy to continue to grow. And that's taken a lot of the momentum out of the market, especially the Dow, which is now going sideways. The NASDAQ, S&P look better, but the Dow is now going sideways, and one of the things you're looking at there is because the market is looking out like it always does, 12 to 18 to 24 to 36 months, so what it sees is the global economy and earnings for the S&P 500. And it obviously doesn't like what it sees as much as what it liked back in May and spring of this year. Now we're in fall of this year, and things may be dimming a bit. And I would say the biggest reason is the China-U.S. relations right now, which are going south. Okay, well, that's why I believe in active management. I do not like the word passive management. I do not like it. If you'd like a little more, you know, watching over your portfolios on a daily basis, give us a call at 855-611-BEST. Start with the newsletter. I'll be working on that tomorrow. I'll get 2 free weeks, GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.